With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Who are they? Are they people we would want to speak with? Who are these people? Oh, I thought you asked, screened him already. Bob, is there anybody to get a shirt U of L had on the other night? I don't think so, but I don't know. Bob, when you announce games, do you make sure you're ready first, LOL Dane? Actually, they do, but they won't hold the game up, but they do make sure the announcers are ready. Good My Cousin Vinny reference. Most of our references on the show will either be from My Cousin Vinny or Glengarry Glen Ross. So there's almost any situation fits some scene from one of those movies. Let's see. The other stuff is about Louisville Lock. We don't need to get into that necessarily. So there you go. I went to a Division III game last night, as I said I was going to. Had some choices to do and just want to do something. I'm telling you, I really know. It really affirms how much I do love basketball. It was and two not particularly strong teams this year. Both of them had very, very subpar records last year. They both have had good Division III teams. NYU has been to the national champion, the NCAA tournament, and the Final Four. They used to be a Division I program. And Hunter College went to the Final Four. Last year they both won like six games, and one team, Hunter. But this is the point. This is the reason I'm bringing it up. Three reasons. Hunter has only one win this year. They came into the game 1-7, and NYU was like 5-3. And I got there. I forgot how far uptown it was. So I didn't get there till like 7 o'clock tip. I got there about 7:05. So, and I walk in, NYU was already ahead by 10. So by the first time out, it was like a 12-point game, and NYU got it up to like 18. I said, oh, God, this is going to be exactly what I was dreading. The game was at Hunter. And then Hunter put on a furious rally, got it down to 3, had a chance late, but NYU ended up winning by like 4. So at least it was entertaining. But, you know, they don't have media timeouts at Division III. It was so strange to watch the game and see the clock stop at 15:38. I'm looking and waiting for them to leave the floor, and they keep playing. It was fantastic. It was just fantastic.
Did they wear down? Did you notice? I mean, yeah, it's...
Well, I did see one kid, which is the second point I was going to make. There's a kid. What the hell's his name now? I don't remember. I have to go look it up. George something or other from Brooklyn playing for Hunter. That dude could play at any of the... My brother used to say it all the time, by the way. that, you know, he played at Rutgers. They played a small, at that time they didn't have Division II and III. They had just university division, college division. He played a small college division team from Reading, Pennsylvania called Albright College. And he said they had two guards that were as good as any guards they faced in the entire time he was at Rutgers. So you just never know. This kid had 29 points, and I didn't know, and you know, I'm kind of proud of this. Humble brag, that's fine. But I walked in, I watched 2 minutes going up and down the floor. I didn't remember. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody's name. I found a program at halftime. So, and even then, it wouldn't told me much. There was no stats or anything, just names and numbers. But I said, that kid can play. And, you know, he'd only had like 3 points at that point. In the second half, he went out of his mind, scoring right-handed, left-handed drives, threes. I was like, God dang. He could play at a lot of the he wouldn't be a star, but he would be, without question, you know, the places, the low majors. He definitely could have been a Division I player. And then there was a kid on the other team, just as a shooter, he could have found a lot of homes also. He made like 6 threes or something, wound up with like 20 points and five of them were threes or whatever. Those are the two leading scorers. But the other kid, the George kid from – they're both seniors too, by the way, which is interesting. Really do appreciate the difference it makes.
Tell Dino, baby, get a graduate transfer.
I really did think about that. I really did think about calling –
Ryan McMahon.
Well, I don't think he'll play the ACC, but I thought about like a bunch of my friends that are, you know, head coaches at the low majors. I promise you, he could play at Eastern. He could play at like St. Francis. He would – I mean, 6'3", dude can play. But here's the point I bring up. You asked, did you see if he at one point did that thing you used to see a lot? He went to the bench, put his hand up, said, I need a blow. And he came out for a minute and came right back in because there is no media timeout built in. So you're right. It does factor into the game. Now, I don't know what the timeout rule is. If they just get 5 timeouts each team and 2 fulls and 3 20s or something. But, you know, they don't have the media timeout, and I enjoyed the hell out of it, to be honest with you. The game was just going, man. The game just goes.
How big was the gym? What was the attendance?
No, I know. They played in front of – it was a nice gym, a nice small college gym, what you would consider probably, you know, a good big high school gym here. They've had a long history. It's an old school, the CUNY schools, City of New York University system schools. They've had a bunch of really good athletes. They have had, and if you want to smirk, knock yourself out, but they have had a national caliber fencing team forever. So they've had like our U.S. Olympic team has been made up of a whole bunch of people who went to Hunter College. And if they have a thing on the wall showing U.S. Olympians, and there's fencing. And they had a kid track and field. They had another kid who runs track on the Belizean Olympic team. And then they're really good at the Division III level. They win a lot of championships at that level. It doesn't answer the question, though. It seats probably, I'm going to guess, about 2,000. But, I mean, they only have the bleachers pulled out on one side. The bleachers behind the bench are pushed in, which I don't mind. It's like a theater. Everybody's on one side.
You're talking about the banners and stuff. I'm actually kind of picturing almost my high school gymnasium.
Kind of.
Because you remember Silver Creek's gymnasium.
It's kind of like
it was
that.
Kind of...
But, man, you know, only seating on one side. The other side, when the bleachers are pushed in, it creates the Hunter logo, so it doesn't look so bad. It's a good backdrop. There were maybe 200 people watching. That's about right. But still, 200 people. And I don't mind because I can hear the coaches. I want to hear what they're saying. I'm watching them coach. I'm coaching along them. There's one kid who's a freshman for Hunter that I wanted to come out of the stands and just grab him by the shirt and say, son, just slow down. He was very physically gifted, and he got the ball, and he was like our guy in that Little League. He was going to second, and he was going home. No matter what the situation was, he was going in the lane. He was going to spin, and I'm thinking to myself, this kid would give me an ulcer by halftime. And a couple of big possessions, just go attack team tiny bit slower. Instead, it was, woohoo! That should have been the soundtrack for him. Woohoo! And he'd score once and turn it over 4 times. And just, he could be a good player. But it was fun. There was great spirit. The kids had, that's how you know you love the game. I got back to watching the game. It was no sense. But it's so funny, though. Here's the other point I wanted to make. How the game is still the game. You know, remember in Hoosiers when the kids go to the big, you know, their butler or wherever it is, and the kids are all awed, and he pulls out the thing and he measures and he said, well, you know, foul line's still 15 feet, basket's still 10 feet. 200 people in the stands, all right? This is great. And the Hunter's making a big run, and they can't quite get over the hump, and they lose again. So now they're like 1-8. And I go downstairs, and some guy is just absolutely viscerating the coach. He's just like, the game needs a 3-point shooter there. You're looking at, they need a 3-point shooter. And when he's got him on the bench, I mean, what the hell? You know what? You know, this is is what I'm talking about. You're 1-8. What you're doing ain't working. Try something different. And he's just killing a guy. I'm like, even with 200 people, if you're 1-8, you are not above reproach. But he put a kid in late who hadn't played at all. And the kid came, and I forget the kid's name, it was an African name, and I don't mean that in any kind of way other than it was a hard name for me to remember. It was, it wasn't John Lewis or something. It was some name that was obviously very ethnic in nature, and I don't remember it, so I can't do it justice. But he hadn't played him at all, and he put him in with like 7 minutes to go, and the kid went out of his mind. He got like 3 offensive rebounds. He scored. He said, see, this is what I mean. He said, you got fresh legs in there, and he's in there scoring. He said, these kids want to play. They're excited. You got to give them a chance. I wanted to go call the coach and say, dude, I just want to tell you, I feel you. I feels you. You know what I'm saying? Because if nobody's immune.
Just give him a dap, walk by, just give him a little.
Just.
Get your spirits, buddy.
200 people. There was no admission charge. They had a doubleheader. The girls played the first game, which I didn't see anything of. And then the men played starting at 7. And it was very entertaining. I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was really fun. It was and they the spear, and you can hear them talking to each other, and it was very cool. But I'll tell you, Kid George could ball. He could ball. And I looked up his box scores, too. He's had the last, like, 6 games. He had 29 last night. He had 26, 25. He had one bad game at, like, 12. But and I started talking to myself, which was bad, 'cause you never know who you're around. Like when the really kid that would go nuts got the ball, he took off. He had a steal. I could see two dribbles in the backcourt. I said out loud, here comes trouble. And I was a woman next to me. I don't know, it could have been his mother. That probably might have not have been the wisest. Sure enough, though, he did. He got in the lane, made a reverse pivot, spun right into the lane, knocked like 4 guys over, got a charge, lost it out of bounds. So,
you know, I kind of like this guy.
It was no, you trust me, it was bizarro. And then my guy George is doing everything. He's scoring righty, he's scoring lefty, he's getting steals. He makes a great fake, he throws it in the post, and the post guy just can't get it done. They're not big players. They're like 6'6", but the NYU 6'6" guys were a lot better than the Hunter guys. And he throws it in there, and the kid just absolutely just scums it all up. And I actually said, George, you guys just aren't giving you any help. like I know these guys, like they're my guys. Like I'm looking out for George. They're just not giving you any help. But they didn't give much help. But he was good about it. He didn't sulk. He didn't pout. He didn't. Then after the game,
George Keener.
That's him.
George Keener
from Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn. Dude can ball, Nick. I'm telling you.
I'm going down the roster here.
The kid that was out of control was 10.
10
freshman.
Let's see here.
Number 10.
Judah McIntyre.
Yeah, his name is probably spinning on the website. He's from New Jersey somewhere.
And I can't read where he keeps moving.
Yeah. Then there's
Englewood Cliffs.
There you go. It's a kid from Long Island, Italian kid. 0.
Danny Fusco.
Fusco.
Hey,
Fusco
doing?
Got himself a flagrant foul.
Danny Fusco.
Fusco,
hey.
The guy, they threw it inside. He was getting fed up that his post guys couldn't handle their post guys. So he thought he'd help.
Danny Fusco looks like he'd get a flagrant.
Danny this Fusco like... jumped up and draped himself. Literally, I'm not kidding you. He jumped up and he draped himself on the big kid's neck. And he pulled him down like a takedown. And all the officials came running over like, no, you can't do that, son.
Do you think he went to the bench and just said, sorry, coach, it's about respect. Like, I mean, he looks – I love this kid.
Danny he was not a bad player. Not a bad player. Also a senior.
Danny
but the kid 15 was the kid – It's he's from – I think it's an unusual name, right?
Dauda Barreta,
yeah,
see? It looks like.
Yeah, that's him.
Junior from New York, New York.
Yeah. I think he transferred from a Division II school. Pace is Division II. And he's big. He's a bulky kid. He's a little chubby, to be honest with you. But the dude came in and just and smiled at everything, which was also – maybe that's why he didn't play. Maybe the coach was like, he's too happy. but he was balling. It was fun. It was fun. By the way, I learned this. Did you know? This I could have saved for next week's We Want to Know Wednesday. The New York City park system. Do you know how many outdoor basketball courts there are in the New York City park system? More than that. Nick guessed 1,000. He's trying to answer the phone and give me hand signals. So it's more than 1,000.
I guessed 100.
No,
so,
it's more than 1,000.
1,500.
Higher.
2,400.
Lower.
3,000.
What'd you say? 2,000?
3,000.
I said lower than 2,400. What are you doing? The scene from Alfred Hitchcock's movie? 3,000, 500, 8,000.
And then what an
airplane. That's from Airplane.
2,200.
2,200 is exactly
wow.
Right.
Wow.
2,200 outdoor basketball courts. How about that? They manage. I had no idea about that. I learned that in a cab this morning. They have a video looping there. All right. Is this, you know, the names don't come up in here anymore. Is that Ryan on line two? BHR, you were in New York, right? Because I saw your text about Macy's. Very cool.
Yes, sir. I was. I felt like I was. We were walking in each other's footsteps because we also, my wife and I also, you know, saw the Rockefeller Tree, watched the ice skaters, watched Fifth Avenue, the lights. I mean, seems like everything you took. I was like, hey, I was just there. Where are you? I'm looking around, couldn't find you. And I swear, if it wasn't for the bar in the Macy's, because I felt like my wife may have walked that 1.2 million square feet of the shopping center.
I had never done the light show at Saks before. That was really cool. I don't know if they've done that for a long time, but that was impressive. Synced with the music, it was really, I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, it was there a couple of years ago, so I don't know how long they've been doing the light show, but getting back to Macy's, the bar, full of men, watching sports.
What do you think? New York, is it that different from Louisville or Indianapolis or, you know, Mobile, Alabama? What do you think? That's a universal truth. Although I did.
Yeah,
I go ahead. If you're done with you got more on Macy's or you got something else?
I've got something else, but you go ahead and talk with Macy's.
Well, I don't want to talk Macy's. I was just going to say, I have, you know, I go into New York a lot, obviously, but I don't often go into Saks Fifth Avenue, and I decided to this day, largely because it got so cold yesterday, I just wanted to warm up, and secondly, I was enjoying the light show, and I thought, let me look in here. I'd love to just buy something from Saks just to bring it home so I could say, or give it to the wife so I could say, I got you something from Saks. And then I looked at the prices, and the first thing I looked at was a dress that was $3,000 and a handkerchief that was $80. I said, nah, I don't think I'll be purchasing anything here. $80 for a handkerchief is a little out of my price range. So that was.
So you just take a picture and say, honey, I went to Saks Fifth Avenue. But I wanted to call in earlier this week, but I've been in New York, so I haven't had the time to call. So I did something last Friday that you will be extremely proud of, and I told this to your son Saturday night at Equus. We were at Equus.
Oh, nice.
So Friday night, halfway through the game, I look at my wife. I said, hey, let's do something different. She said, what? I go, let's stay the entire game, because I will admit I'm one of those people that leave early. So we stayed the entire game, and then we stayed and listened to the post game, and then we stayed and listened to the post game with you and Paul, which I didn't know was even broadcasted over the loudspeakers, and I really enjoyed that. Then we left, and guess what? And I can't say this in a whisper because it's radio. There was no traffic.
Thank you.
We left, went right out of the parking garage. Not a soul was out there. Got home at the same amount of time it would have taken us if we had left at a normal time and rushed out of there, and I'm dragging my wife trying to get through the parking garage. We got home at the same amount of time, albeit it was later, but we didn't have any traffic. So for any of you that are considering maybe you should stay the whole game, I think it's a new tradition that I'm going to start with my wife is we're going to stay the whole game because there's no traffic afterwards.
Never,
and I will jump off. I thought you would enjoy it.
Prouder of you, Birdhead Ryan. That is quality work out of you. But that's my point, man. And, you know, listen, it's got nothing to do with what UK does or anybody else does. I mean, UK, you know, Cal has what I call his tent revival after the game. I mean, they're packed and they're throwing things out of the stands for him to sign. And, you know, he mentions a guy by name and they all lose their mind. And I'll be honest with you, it's uncomfortable for me a little bit because usually we do the radio. I'm not used to doing it with a studio audience of thousands of people, but it, you know, it's good. And Chris is very good and very open and candid, and it's fun. And you know, Paul obviously does a great job. And so, you know, I his point is, and more importantly, even if you just go out in the hallway and talk to your friends or something, you don't get home any faster. And you miss the chance to celebrate with your players. I mean, that's this whole point. And then when you go out, when I go out, there's nobody there either. So you don't have to sit in traffic and be aggravated. Thank you. Like Johnny Appleseed, I'm converting them one at a time, I hope. You know what I was amazed at, though? I was just amazed.
What?
That there are people, I again, I don't mean this to be offensive, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. I worked at a place where Everybody bitched and pissed and moaned about how the department was run. It was unbelievable. And, you know,
like
I mean,
sports,
across
mean?
The board in college, not in radio, in college. And I had just gotten the job there, and I was not making judgments, but I was listening to what they said. And they all said, you know, oh, this, a lot of them had been there 20 years, 25 years, 15 years. This sucks, that sucks, this is no good, that is no good, blah, blah, blah. And so I would observe, and I said, you know, basically, the analogy I gave was, what I would suggest is kind of like, why don't we do it this way then? And as soon as you did that, then they would get mad at you. Why do you know? You just got here. This is how we've always done it. And I would say, well, what are you pissing and moaning about? I said, you know, Nick, my theory, this was the pants on the head theory. It's like you go to a place you've never been before and you walk in and everybody's wearing their pants on their heads. Their arms are straight up with their little leg holes and they have to eat. They have to put the fly down and they complain. This is really inconvenient. I know this is not. And you say, well, I don't know. I just got here. But, you know, many other people would wear their pants on their legs. And they say, what do you know? You just got here. You're going to tell us how to run our program. Oh, now you know more than us. I mean, well, then stop complaining about it. Then walk around with your pants on. Here, what do you want from me? So, I mean, so it's the same thing. He just told you, you won't get home any later. It's a, you know, you have a nice little visit with Coach Mack. Unlike Rick, Rick didn't come out at the end. He would do it from the locker room, and I'd bring the interview out, and Paul played on the air. So really, if you wanted to hear it, you probably had to be in the car. Now he's played over the thing, and when you get in your car, the traffic's all gone. So, I mean, I mentioned it. I actually said it on Twitter. The same thing. Here they go again. And some guy wrote me like a semi-nasty note. Bob, what do you know? How long you been here? You know, like, this is a tradition. And he wasn't kidding. I thought at first, like, ha, 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 you know. I mean, the analogy I give is what my friend Bob Lloyd said.
We've been here almost 20 years.
That's the other thing. I did say that. I wrote back, I've been here 20 years, so it's not like I just got off the boat. But it's like Bob Lloyd said. He moved to Hawaii from Philadelphia. And his family said to him, oh, man, at Christmas, don't you miss, you know, the snow and everything? He said, well, the best analogy I can give you is suppose every year on the same date they would ring your bell, and when you open the door, a guy hits you in the face with a shovel. He said, you know, when you moved and that stopped, every day that came on the calendar, if you asked me, do I know it's that date? Yes, I would know that. Do I miss it? Can't say I'd really miss that. So that's the same thing. These people, it's kind of like, that's how we do it here. We get in the face with a shovel, and that's it. What do you know? I mean, so I realized, okay, you want to wear your pants on your head, knock yourself out. But it's, you know, I've been to, I don't know, 70 other arenas. I've never seen anybody else do that. And you thought that you think you're the only place that has traffic leaving games. So maybe there's something to stay. But, you know, that's the whole thing. It's our tradition. Okay. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, think about it. If somebody said to you, after you scored the 11th point of the first half, everyone would take a burning hot cup of coffee and pour it on the guy in front of them. You know, you might say, well, okay, I see that's what you do. But I'm just suggesting that's not really a great tradition. That's all I was suggesting. But now I just shut up. So you want to leave at halftime? Pay $75 and leave at halftime, knock yourself out. But I'll never get it. I mean, you know, I think about some of the endings of some of these games. My God. Plus, like I said, I like to see the end because I like to see the reaction of the people. You know, the players, they watch them shake hands with each other. I like the handshake line. Then I see, you know, some of them wave to the people in the crowd. You can tell them, hey, nice job. They can hear you when you're walking out. I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. It's one of the reasons you go instead of staying home. You know, for all the high def stuff and you got beer in your own refrigerator, that you don't get that at home. If Jordan Warr is walking off, you say, hey, Jordan, nice game to your TV. You just look like an asshat. But if you do it in the arena, he might say thanks and wave back to you. See, there's the difference there. But if you want to, you know, ding dong, whap, here's the shovel. Hey, it's a tradition. It's what we do.
Canadian Prince now dipping his arms into the pudding, as is tradition. Princess will, of course, scrape the pudding off the princess's arms, thus symbolizing their union. What a glorious day for our country and, indeed, the world. And now, of course...
I never was not familiar with that one. That's a good reference there. You dug that up in a hurry.
That's the South Park Canadian wedding.
Thanks, pretty good. She'll scrape the... signifying their union.
Here, wait, it goes on and on. Like, he rips her arm off.
I gathered that was just the tip of the iceberg.
Let's pause for ID real fast. Remind everybody that you're listening to WHBE, ESPN Louisville, and then WHBE FM, 105.7 Eminence, Frankfurt, I think. They quiz Perrin on this. It's his birthday, by the way. Happy birthday, PJ. And I'm not sure I know it. All right, I got 75%.
Do you know
WLCL Sellersburg? I know that.
How many do you think people would know this? Do you know this? You know stuff. Nick knows stuff. So as I said, I only get really emotional when people imply he's not smart. Then I want to climb in the monitor. And
I do
slap
dumb
people.
Stuff. I'm not stupid.
Do you know what e pluribus unum means? It's on all of our coins, all of our money. Do you know what it means?
One country under God.
No,
I don't know.
See, first we'll give a prize. First person who texts me knows what it means.
Wait.
E pluribus unum. It's Latin,
yeah.
Obviously.
I knew this too because we
e pluribus unum. That's what I mean. Nobody knows. I forgot. I didn't remember until
you
I
give me multiple choices.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No,
you got to
just
know it or you
saying.
Don't know it. You either know it or you don't know it. We'll do it live.
Wow. Channeling your inner Bill O'Reilly. There's something I was going to bring up. Oh yeah, we're talking about pants
sure.
on the head.
Right.
There was this adorable photo that went viral around Halloween.
Sure.
They asked a toddler what he wanted to be for Halloween.
What did he say?
And he said pants. So they just got a big pair of jeans
and
pulled it up to his neck and cut out armholes in the side, and he's waddling around.
He wanted to be
happy.
He literally knew. That's literally what he meant.
He wanted to be pants for Halloween. It's the most adorable thing. You can't be in a bad mood. You just see this little guy. He's just so content walking around as a pair of pants.
We got a winner. Exactly right, Mr. 28092. Out of many. One. That's what it means. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one.
Wait, so that means out of what? Many dollars, this is
out
yours?
Of many different nationalities. We are the melting pot of people. Out of many,
I thought it
one.
Was more like, you know, there are many dollars, but this one is mine.
No.
Without my dollar, I have nothing. Without me, my dollar is nothing.
Not even remotely.
Ah.
Pants on the head people are leaders of the Big Stick Society. No, I don't know about that. These were not necessarily people with big sticks, although some thought they did. That's another.
Oh.
That's another. If everyone stays, then there will be traffic then. I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I can't imagine that it'll change a whole lot. But it's still, it's whatever. It looks ridiculous to leave at the 5-minute mark. And you do it. It's your tradition, dumping hot water on a guy in front of you in the 11th point. Knock yourself out. But to me, it's a goofy tradition.
Process just showed me the photo.
Of what?
He found the photo
of the kid in the pants. Let me see it. Let me see it.
Tell me that's not
adorable. It went dark.
Oh, his screen might be just dark.
What the hell is with your screen?
There we go.
Well, it looks, honestly, to be honest, it looks like a kid who has overalls
that's
that
exactly
are way too hot.
That's exactly what Process said. But if you look carefully, he's literally just wearing a pair of pants.
That's a little odd.
That's adorable.
I know, but he's what would just, make you want to be pants for a holiday?
Because you're two and you don't know any better. What do you want to be for two?
Nick, when the V Foundation was founded,
I love your pants.
Nick came up with the Little Foundation, which to this day we're still not completely sure what the hell it is.
It was just a bunch of little miniature stuffed animals I had.
I know, but what was their part? Then you made them like evil.
No.
Then you had the Criminal Foundation or something.
No, that was the Robbery Foundation.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Well, I got sick and tired of watching Looney Tunes and seeing poor Tom and Jerry and all the guys, the villains. Get the short end of the stick. So it was sort of like a nicer version of the Legion of Doom. It was like, look, we're not really trying to kill nobody or anything, but for God's sake, let Tom get his milk. And Jerry, keep blanking mitts
off. In the immortal words of Billy Preston, let the bad guy win every
exactly.
once in a while.
Just a little.
Yeah, now we let the bad guy win too much, though. Let's say we've gone too far.
Oh. Aren't we all bad guys?
No, I don't know. New York Mike, we owe a thank you to, and he joins us right now. New York Mike, thank you for the winning ticket and then the $5 to make it an even 100, and we will take that and throw it to the Kentuckiana Friends of V with our gratitude. Thanks for doing that, buddy.
Hey, you're welcome, Bob. Hey, Bob, if you want to take it to Clarksville when you cash it, if you want to try and double or triple it, which you did last time when I sent you something, you're more than welcome to.
Well, I might do that, but I.
Or maybe put half with the V and half up there.
Yeah, let's see if we can get another 100. We'll see. We'll play that by ear. But one way or another, some money's going to the V, and I appreciate you doing that. That's appropriate on Jimmy V Week, so a good play out of you to take
okay.
Baylor. Very nice. So.
Hey, listen, you know what? There might be another ticket in there because I picked two. Because I had that one, and I had the same amount of money on the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, I won that one, and I put the ticket in there, but when I got down there, it was gone.
No, yeah,
so
I don't.
It might be in there somewhere.
Might be in where? In what? In the envelope with that picture with the Jimmy Burke stuff? You mean?
Oh, you seen it?
I didn't open it yet. He just came right from the airport, so I just saw it in the envelope.
You know, you're the only guy that has, besides me, a copy of that stuff, and I wanted you to have it to keep the legacy on for my friend Jimmy Burke.
Do you know this?
Can I just tell you one more thing about Jimmy, and I won't say nothing no more.
All right, go ahead.
Jimmy didn't die from lung cancer. He died from stomach cancer. And every letter he wrote me, or every other letter, and it might be in the two letters I left you. I left you two letters that Jimmy wrote to me. And you'll see, he might say that his habeas corpus is coming about. Now, Jimmy Burke, this is the truth, he died 2 weeks before he's going to court to get his habeas corpus. That's crazy. 2 weeks before he's going to court, he had his habeas corpus. Henry Hill was shaking. Now he had to come back into court and say, how do you know he killed Richie Eaton? You can't just say he put my arm around me and said he did it. You can't do that, Bob. You have to say, how did he do it? So, one of those letters, I think that it says he's looking for his habeas corpus. But all through the 30 or 35 letters I have, he tells me, Mike, my motion's coming. Mike, my habeas corpus going. But 2 weeks before, he got approved while he was alive, and then when he went, supposed to go to the court, he died 2 weeks before. And that's all I'm going to say about my friend Jimmy Burke.
All right. You know what? I was thinking to you this morning, Lucas, on the way here, I picked up New York Newsday, and there is an article in there. Unfortunately, there's a Jimmy Burke who's in trouble there, too. The Suffolk County Police Chief, James Burke, they're on the cusp of putting him in jail. For corruption. I hope he's not related to your Jimmy Burke.
Could be. I don't know.
So you might want to go look at that online anyway.
But you got pictures in there of all the mob people, but on the back of each picture, I told you who they are.
Well, it's very nice. It's kind of like a class photo.
And I sent you a copy of the letter when they moved Jimmy around from prison to prison, and when he had the cancer and they moved him, I asked him, please don't move him. The guy got cancer. Let him stay with his family close to the city. And you'll see what they wrote to me. They were like, in basic short, from bottom line to top line, they told me, F you, we do what we want with him. That's what they that's what they basically said to me. But it's in the letter that you have.
Well, it is, for the people who don't know, he is the guy that was played by Robert De Niro in the movie, which ticks New York Mike off because he doesn't think he did him justice. He was the ostensibly the mastermind of the Lufthansa heist that was at the core of that movie.
Jimmy Conway.
And that's Jimmy. Well, I'm reading Jimmy Burke. I thought he was the guy that was the guy.
No, that was the real guy. In the movie, he's called Jimmy Conway.
Oh, yeah, in the movie. You're right.
Jimmy's family would not let him use his name in the movie.
All right, well, that's their choice.
So Conway was his... At 2 years old, his mother, Jane Conway, put him into an orphanage at 2 years old. His mother, when he was two, was Jane Conway.
I'm Italian. I should know this, and I don't. So I'm going to ask you because I have a feeling you would know. You hear, because he was Irish, he wasn't eligible ever to be a true made man. What the hell does a made man mean exactly?
Exactly?
I mean, what does it mean?
All right. That means you made your bones. That means you actually either you made an enormous amount of money as an Italian or you killed somebody. That's all. Then you go to a basement or somewhere. You sit with six or seven guys. They put a holy picture in your hand. They light it on fire. And then they make you, not make you, but you do the thing with omerta. That means you will not say anything about the mob. And there's no such thing as the mafia, and I explained that the other day. It's another word, but I'm not going to go into it again. But they burned the picture of the Madonna or somebody in your hand, and you got to say that you will be with them forever. You will take them over your family, your friends, anybody.
But what do they get in return? Do they get, like, discounts at McDonald's or something, or what comes with that?
Oh, you know about that. I thought you would know about McDonald's discounts.
I mean, it seems kind of one-sided. It's like you burn me, and I pledge everything to you at the expense of my family. What do I get? I mean, I should get something.
Hey, Bob, I'm not. It's a long story, but I want this. This is my last time calling you in. I don't know if you know. I'm leaving today.
Where are you going?
I got to do something here, and I this will be the last time I'm calling you because I've been pretty lucky on Thursday night games, and tonight is the last Thursday night game of the season. Did you know that?
Well, it's sad. So there goes our gravy train.
But you know what? I miscounted because I thought I was 11-4. But tomorrow night, or tonight is the 15th game, so I can't be 11-4 because that's 15. So I must be 10-4.
It's still pretty good.
Can I pick tonight's game?
Let's see what it is. It's the Lamar Jackson's in action here, who's going to run wild on our New York Giants, I think. Or the New York, who are they playing? The Jets, not the Giants, the Jets.
The Jets.
They're laying 16.5. It's a lot of points.
It's Monday it was 14.5. Today it's 16.5.
Yep.
The Jets have a real good defense, and LeVar Bell, the guy that they got from Pittsburgh, the running back, he's in there tonight. He wasn't playing for a couple of games. Like I always said, whoever plays on Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, they play a little harder because they know the other 30 teams are watching them. And that's what I think. You know, a lot of people might not think that. But tonight I like the Jets plus 16.5 against Lamar Jackson. I know you guys like Lamar, but I have to go with the 16.5 points. Like you said, wow. Anytime you give a professional football team over 12 or 13 points, you got to take it.
Yeah, so 16.5 and in Baltimore. All right, so now his swan song for Thursday night is the Jets plus 16.5. And I don't even know if Lamar's going to play the whole game. I mean, we'll see. So they may, you know, it could be a backdoor cover of sorts. You never know. They get up 24 and the Jets get a late touchdown or something like that. So anyway, all right. You got any other picks? You picking any Sunday games?
I just want to give you one. Can I give you I'm going to give you the reason why I'm taking this. The Raiders are playing their last game in the Coliseum this Sunday. The Black Hole, after this, they go on their last two games on the road. So this is the last game this Sunday in the Coliseum. Just like I called you last year when I thought they were going to do their last Monday night game in the Coliseum against Denver, which they covered real good. They're going to cover tonight. They're not going to let the Black Hole down tonight. Jacksonville is coming in. They're giving Jacksonville 6. They're going to beat them by like 10 or 12. And I'm picking the Raiders for Sunday, minus 6.
All right, well, it's 6.5 here, but same point.
All right. 6.5.
All right, Raiders, and so a two-team parlay, Jets and Raiders. The AFL team standing proud for the last pick here on this Thursday. So,
hey, being that I won't talk to you next Wednesday, I tried to get in yesterday to give you what do you want to know Wednesday?
Oh, you got one? It's all right, we'll take it late. It's okay. You can use it now.
Okay. Do you know there's three – well – the Jets won the Super Bowl and the World Series in 1969.
Correct.
Do you know what other cities won that? Where their teams won the World Series and the...
And the Super Bowl in the same year?
Ooh, yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a tough one. Let me see. Well, that's the only time it happened in New York, so I know that. Well, no, that may not be true. Didn't the Giants win the Super Bowl the same year the Mets won the World Series? I think that's right.
No.
Yeah, they did, 86. Sure they did.
Well, 86. You could be right, but I got this directly.
Well, you know why? Because the Super Bowl's actually played in 87, so that's why. So it's the 86. Yeah, it was the 86 season.
Right,
but so that's right. So it wasn't the same calendar year. All right, so the same calendar year. How many teams? Can you tell me how many it is?
Three same city and one same state. Three, in addition to the Mets and the Jets in 69, there's two more for the cities and one for the state.
All right, two more for the cities, one for the state. Let's ask a process. Philadelphia ever do that? Philadelphia, no. They've never won the last time they won the Super Bowl was recently. That was the first time, right? So it didn't
Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, 1980.
Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, 1980, same state. Look at process. That's right, right? Isn't that right?
Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1979.
79, actually, correct. Yes. All right. Very good. That's one.
Baltimore Colts and the Baltimore Orioles in 1970.
Ooh, I wouldn't have got that. And I should have. That's right in my wheelhouse. That's when I followed everything religiously. That's where the Mets beat the Orioles in 69. They came back and won the next year. And then both of them got beat in the championship. They could have done it in 69, but except for New York. New York beat them. So you're right. Okay.
Nice.
That's one. All right.
The last one for the same state is the Boston Red Sox and the New England Patriots in 2004.
2004. All right, that's a good we want to know. Now, the question is, hey, process, do you know this? How many times have teams from the same city played in the World Series? Like the White Sox and the Cubs, have they ever met in the World Series? Didn't they meet once in the World Series, like in the early 1900s? I thought they did. Maybe not. But the Yankees and the Mets... And I think that's it. The Dodgers and the Angels never did. Did the Giants And the it's not the same one exactly, but the Giants and Athletics.
The Giants and
the Giants and
around the world.
The
right?
Giants and the Yankees met in the World Series a number
Bobby
of times.
Bobby Thompson, right?
Yeah, but I'm not counting Brooklyn because Brooklyn and the Yankees met a gajillion times in the late 40s and early 50s. The Yankees won all but one.
This is the last question. You ready?
All right.
What major league athlete played both in the World Series and the Super Bowl?
Deion Sanders? No.
He's right. Yeah, he's right.
Deion Sanders. Ooh. Very
Deion
nice.
Sanders
there's another one.
Super
what,
Bowl
what?
29 with the 49ers when they beat San Diego 49-26. The spread was 22, and the 49ers covered by 1 point. Then in 1992, Deion was on the Braves when they played the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays won in six games.
There's also
that was Super Bowl 24.
I believe one athlete who played in the NBA Finals and the World Series. And I'm looking that up. That's a rarer combination. Football and baseball, you'll see that. Yep, the only has a name you probably don't know, but his name was Gene Conley. He played in baseball and basketball, and he's the only player to win both a World Series title and an NBA championship. I think somebody else did it, though.
Jimmy Conway's brother?
Conley, not Conway. Good try.
Okay, sorry.
I thought, because there's another, I think, didn't the Rifleman, Chuck Connors? Chuck Connors was a baseball player and an NBA basketball player also.
I don't know if he played in the NBA.
Here's
one that my brother swears, and I'm against him for the last 50 years. You watch The Rifleman?
I used to watch the reruns on occasion, sure.
Now, in the beginning, very beginning, he's walking down the middle of the town, and he flips his rifle so many times to shoot the bullets.
Right.
My brother says he pulls them as the letters are going up for the Rifleman. So there's 13 letters in The Rifleman, and he says it goes off 13 times. I said, I only count 12. He said it's 13.
I would like to tell you I paid attention to that, but I didn't. Now, next time I watch it, I'm going to have to try and...
You're going to have to do that.
I will do
hey,
that.
Which question in the past 3 or 4 years that I gave you that you liked the most? Like when I asked you, who sang the theme to The Godfather? Remember that?
Yes. Who was that?
Andy Williams.
Oh, there we go. Nick was
and
ready
then,
to answer. I don't remember anything, so...
Here's one that...
I don't even remember who this is. Who am I talking to? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. What?
It's Jimmy Conway.
Yeah.
What, you know, the Bonanza, the father, those three brothers I thought were all real brothers, but they got a mother, three different mothers. Remember that? I told you that.
Yeah, I didn't remember that, but Lorne Green was a frisky fellow, evidently.
Oh, man, he was.
The
and they never mentioned it in any of those episodes, but my brother's good at that.
Yeah, he's good. All right, but, man. Thanks for the gift, brother.
Thank you for letting me stay with you as long as you do.
Well, I hope you'll come back. I don't think it's forever. It's just a little, a short adiosito, as our Latino friends say. All right, man. Take care. Chuck Connors, the Rifleman. Is one of only, there's actually 13 guys who've played both Major League Baseball and in the NBA. I know Dave DeBuscher, my beloved member of the 1969-70 Knicks, pitched for the White Sox and played for the Yankees. And I don't know who the other ones are. I'd have to look that up. Oh, didn't Danny Ainge? Danny Ainge played for the Toronto Blue Jays and, of course, much better known as a Boston Celtic. So there's two right there. Chuck Connors makes three. I don't have a clue who the other 10 are. I wonder how you'd look that up. Let's go see if we could find that, shall we? Let's go to the internet, shall we? Who played both? There's got to be some article or something. Who played? Speaking of articles, by the way, did you see the article that's a long feature piece at ESPN.com on the bizarro journey of O.J. Simpson's two Heisman trophies? The one that was actually his and the one they gave the school. Oh, my God. You've got to read this story.
I saw that on the it's the headline.
Wow. It is. I mean, it's almost literally unbelievable. Why is it and that some guys that kind of crap just follows? Like, in other words, all right, you know, the murder investigation and all of that is its own item. But why should that mean that all such bizarre stuff happens? Like, there's a million Heisman trophies in the trophy case there at USC. The schools had won five of them, I guess. You know, why wouldn't you steal one of the other ones? I mean, I'm not sure I understand. And it wasn't because the guy who stole it, as you read in the article, did it with the idea of destroying it. Fred Goldman, the father of the guy who was killed, He wanted to get his hands on it so he could smash it into a million pieces, he said. But he's not the one that stole it or bought it. So that isn't why. So why was that? Why does it seem like all the crap happens to one person? I mean, not what it happens to. Believe me, I'm not making him out to be victimized. Trust me, he was the cause of all of his, you know, problems. But it's just, it's weird.
I think it's also the fact that people just report about it. I mean, because
all right, here we
crap
go.
Can happen to some people, incredible, but it doesn't move the needle.
What you can find, yeah, it's true. What you can find on the internet, here's the list of names who played both NBA and Major League Baseball. Danny Ainge is the most famous modern athlete to do it. You'll probably not have heard of many of these other ones. Frank Baumholtz, who played for Ohio State and then played in the NBA. Gene Connolly, I told you, was the only guy who not only did that but played in both the NBA, won three championships with the Celtics, and then played on the Braves' 1957 World Series championship. Chuck Connors. Dave DeBuscher, my hero. Oh, my God, how could I not have known this? One of the nicest guys. Still hanging in there and doing, I think still doing some games for Pitt. Dick Grote, who played at Duke and was a great basketball player, then was the 1960 National League MVP, won a World Series in that dramatic Bill Mazeroski home run for the Pirates. But he played one game for, as they were then known, the Fort Wayne Pistons before they moved to Detroit. Right here we have a Kentucky connection. Steve Hamilton was the athletic director at Morehead State. Big 6'7", left-handed relief pitcher. Went 12 seasons, most of them with the Yankees. Pitched in the World Series in 63 and 64. Also played power forward for the Lakers for 3 years before that. Mark Hendrickson, he was a reliever for 5 clubs in 10 major league seasons, but played a little bit for the Sixers, Nets, and Kings. Cotton Nash from University of Kentucky. How in the world could the UK people must have known that? First team All-America for
Cotton
UK.
Nash, that's a cool name.
Cotton Nash played for UK before playing for the Lakers and the Warriors, and then he wound up in the major leagues playing 2 years of baseball, 13 games as a first baseman and left fielder for the White Sox and Twins. Ron Reed is the most accomplished baseball player on this list. He was an All-Star in 1968, played 19 seasons in the majors. He also played for the Pistons. For the Pistons like to have dual sport guys, which may explain why they sucked back then. Played 3 years with, or 2 years with the Pistons. Dick Ricketts, who played at Duquesne, was the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, played 3 seasons for the Hawks and Royals. He also pitched for the Cardinals. And Howie Schultz, who I don't know anything about, but he played both Major League Baseball and in the NBA. The most famous crossover attempt was Michael Jordan, but he never made it to the bigs. The highest he got was AA Birmingham, but he never was able to play in the NBA. So there you go. There are others that probably could have, they say. Dave Winfield was drafted by the Atlanta Hawks and the ABA's Utah Stars, but said, I'm going to play baseball instead, and did fairly well there. And Tony Gwynn was the starting point guard for San Diego State, and then played for the was drafted by the San Diego Clippers and the Padres on the same date in 1981. So there you go.
I was driving home last night after work, and I was listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons, and this just plays into it just a little bit. And they were discussing Gerrit Cole getting the $1 jillion he did from the Yankees. Freddie was making the point that he thinks Kyler Murray might be looking over there like, say,
did I make the right choice?
Say.
Like, and nobody tries to break my nose in this game.
And also, I mean, process makes the argument, and he did his NFL bit today. He's feeling a little bit better, so I think that's going to play. The weekend review, I think that's going to play on the take later, which is always, I don't know what's more fun, listening to it or seeing how it's made. We should sell tickets to seeing how it's made, because he is ranting and raving in there.
I know, I like walked by lunatic. In the hall.
It's fantastic. We need to make a documentary of like the director's cut or, you know, making of or something, because he's throwing things at the wall and
it's a little bit like our good friend Kevin Winter, who most ESPN radio listeners will know, does a terrific job being the studio host for everything. He does it for football, basketball. But occasionally they give him a play-by-play gig, and the games are called Remy games. That's where you don't actually go to the game site, but you sit in a studio in Bristol, and you call it off this big-ass monitor. And I got to do a Remy game with him last year. We did Armed Forces Classic.
Is he crazy?
He doesn't sit down. He stands up and he does the game walking all. You know, you got a headset on. He's walking around the room. He's gesturing with his hands. He's just, I was like, what the? It looks like he's landing planes. What the hell is he doing over there?
It was wild.
I love that because that's how I imagine him.
That's him.
That's how I imagine. Because we always would, we'd listen, and Magic and I especially, and we would listen to the different sports centers. The GOAT is still Christine Lacy. She's just solid all the time, all the blanking time, solid. We like John Ryder because it just sounded like he sounded like a guy that likes saying his name. I'm John Ryder. A little bit. That was Magic that brought that up. Like, I'm John Ryder. This is what's happening. John Ryder. Like, I mean, his sports centers are great too. But I loved Kevin Winter because he would, what's the word I'm looking for here? He would insert his opinions a little bit into the sports center and be like, oh, there's a surprise. They're down 17 at the half. Like, yeah. I mean, I'd be like, this is awesome. But like, he sounds like a, you know.
He was all over the map. I mean, he did a fine job.
Feisty.
But I was, when the game started, I was like, what's he got to go to the bathroom? What is he doing over there? Hey, well, that's a great pass. And they'd be over here, and they'd be over there, and they'd be behind me, and they'd be on the other side of me. And I'm like, whoa, what are you doing?
Now, you said, I don't know if you. Well, you would know this. Did you do a game with Dick Vitale? But you said Dick beats the ever-living
crap out of you. Yes, because he's toned that down some. Shulman warned me about that. Shulman said that, you know, because this game I'd never done this before. When we started to do the Jimmy V Classic, there was one big table. And it was Dan Shulman, and then it was Vitale, and then we were right next to them on radio. There was no gap between us. There's a gap there now. There's a cameraman who sits between us, and that's that mid-court shot you see. So I was literally right next to Dick, and Dan said, you know, you better be ready. I said, why? He said, Dick's going to beat the crap out of you. I said, well, what did I say? Something? He said, no, it's got nothing to do with that. It's just during the game, he gets so excited, he's always hitting me. And the fact that he knows you, I'm sure he's going to hit you too. And I was like, he's not going to hit me. And about halfway through the game, hit me with a haymaker like that woman we just watched on the MMA thing. She would just, what the hell is that? And he's just pounding away, just smashing, boom, boom. And I was like, okay, glad you're excited there, dude, but maybe you could stop hitting me now. So I think he's toned that down. So he's 79 now. So
I'm sure he's still got a punch. Still got a good right
cross. I thought he was kidding. Yes, he just, my mother used to do that when she would.
I feel like you can't get mad at Dickie V.
My mother would do that.
That's like a puppy jumping up on you.
No.
Or a big puppy.
Maybe I'd say that more about my mother. She would go and she would watch the game. She would hit the guy in front of us, not knowing she was doing it. She would get so excited, and the poor guy. You know, the bigger the game, the more she'd punch. And so the guy was rooting for whoever, whether it was, you know, Rutgers or NC State or whatever. So he was okay with it, but she did generally have to clear it, like why he was, you know, people said, it's Jim's mom. She's just a little excited. He said, it's okay, swing away.
That's
the
awesome.
Guy, this is exactly true. Duke Davis is the GOAT. The Duke. Oh, man.
What, for the sports center?
Yes. He's the guy that's on the call of that the miracle pass from Doug Flutie.
Oh, really?
He was the broadcaster for that.
Does he still do?
No, he's retired. He's retired now probably 8 or 9 years. But nobody. But the great thing, and I've always wanted to emulate it here.
Bob Picozzi did go once, too.
Is that he would, on Kornheiser's show, I mean, you used to have to block out like 50. I got to fill in once for Tony, and that was so much fun. I think twice, actually. But the first time I was so nervous, I don't even remember it. I really don't remember what I said. I might have talked bowling for the whole 3 hours. I have no idea.
Now the big finish.
But the second.
It's just, they just pan to you and your mouth's just open staring at Wilbon.
Not on that show. I worked with Tony on that show. I guested the first guest hosted the first week of Pardon the Interruption, and they never had me back. So, I did his show, and when Tony would do SportsCenter, he had free reign to just interrupt Duke whenever he wanted to, whenever something popped up at him. And Duke was great about it because he didn't get flustered, and he would often just once or twice have a zinger of his own when he went back to Tony and make Mr. Tony laugh crazily. Duke had a very dry, understated...
Acerbic.
Yes, and so you never really knew how he felt. I mean, I never knew who he... And then... When the job opened, he said to me, I hope you get it. I was so shocked because I wasn't even sure I knew my name, Duke, when Tony left. Because I think he felt that the time I filled in and did the SportsCenter thing, we had some fun. So, but, of course, I didn't, which is fine. But, I mean, the only reason I bring it up is because I worked with the guy for like 7 years. I wasn't even sure he knew my name, let alone he thought I was doing a good job. So
really?
He's very, very, you know, very dry. Very, very dry. But... He was good.
And did you ever find out?
About what?
If he liked you, did he like tell anybody?
Well, he said, "I hope you get the job." Why would he say that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe
he just wanted to get me under ridicule me. I'm going to get this ass hat on. And I'm going to make. No, I'll ruin his career.
Like, I mean,
all of a sudden, behind closed doors, he talks
further.
Like a guy from Brooklyn. He's just on the air. I'm Duke Davis, and this is. Then he things off. He says, "Yeah, where did I get that big headed jackass in here? I'll dress him down right in front of the whole country." Is when I'm going. Hi, this is Dan Davis with SportsCenter. You know, that's no. He was the best, Dan Duke Davis. We should find a SportsCenter. Must be one somewhere on the internet somewhere.
I'll try to pull it up. Why do I have this up?
Hey, that's going on the mixtape, ladies and gentlemen. There it is, the Beavis and Butthead. That's the rifle. Oh, because you want to count how many shots.
Oh.
Playback. Let's see if it's 12 or 13. Playback.
I want to see Chuck Connors.
Here he comes. Good. He's a good-looking man.
That
left-handed.
He is left-handed.
That's 6'7".
My God, that is a face chiselled out of granite.
That's why he's in the metal showbiz.
All right, ready? Here we go.
Here, let's count. Ready? Count. You saw. I can't say it all. Let's help do it in our heads. See what you come up with, and I'll count too. Oh my God!
I think it was 14.
I got 14 also. He said it was 12. His brother said it was 13. I got 14. One more time. Here it comes.
Well, I mean,
quiet. Here it comes. I don't know if that's it's the one. The first one, I can't tell if I'm counting it twice. That first one is a little blurry.
I'm not sure.
All right. It's at least 13, though.
All right, we're going to turn this up a little bit and blow everyone's ears out.
Poor guys.
Also, we are in Kentucky.
Very good, Nick. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Some guy's getting out of his car selling his belongings. Damn it, I thought I was in Idaho.
We need to know.
I was wondering why it was so.
We need to know what type of rifle that is, and they can tell us what the magazine capacity is.
Oh, please. What's the one the kid wanted for Christmas?
Red Ryder BB.
That's what it is. It's a Red Ryder BB. No, it's 13. He's right.
It's 13.
It's 13. So your brother's right, New York Mike. Okay, you can turn it down now.
So handsome.
You don't need the volume to appreciate the fine looks of Chuck Connors.
I need the whole experience. I need the whole Chuck Connors experience.
Very good.
Okay, anyway, well, process, and you'll hear his football NFL weekend review on the take later on today. But what got us on that whole situation was he thinks Lamar's kind of overrated, and that if you want to see what he'd be like without the supporting cast around him, just look at Kyler Murray.
Oh, please.
And so...
If ever I see Process again, I don't know if I'll run into him. I mean, he's really got legitimate talent, so he doesn't have to be one of those asshats who says, "Let me get on and say something so that everybody will go to the water cooler and go, did you hear what Process said today? He thinks gravity's overrated. He thinks in another week we're all going to be floating through space." You don't have to do that. There's no way in God's green earth that Lamar is overrated. That's the most preposterous take in history. So he can't possibly mean that. He just wants people to go to the water cooler and say, "Wow, did you hear what Process said?" It's sports radio equivalent of lesbian dial-a-date. That's what it is. That's what he's doing there. So I mean, he's better than that. So if I ever see him, then I'll tell him that.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean,
he is a youngster, and you are the elder. Elder.
All right, here we go. You're right. Guy says it's a Browning rifle. I don't know what that means. And another one says it's a Winchester Model 94.
I want to say it's the Winchester, just because I always heard that was like associated with...
television shows? Left-handed power forwards?
No, with Westerns. And okay. Browning, I know they have the Browning company. The only Browning automatic rifle, the Bar. That was my favorite gun in college.
I thought a Browning rifle, to show you how little I know, was something you used at Thanksgiving to make sure the turkey came out right. It was like a form of basting. Did you use that Browning rifle? And we got that thing browned right up there.
I kind
of
like that as a slang term for a basting.
Pull the oven down, just start blasting away at the turkey. The family comes in, the whole kitchen is shot off. There's shards of turkey all over the place. What are you doing? Mom was using a Browning tool again. That's not what the Browning, that's a rifle, you jack. I told you, Ma. Oh, I don't know.
No, it's fine. I just put the seasoning in it.
We get this buckshot out of here now. We can all have some dinner. Oh, man.
From the baker of the casserole blunderbuss.
There you go. I know you hate when I do that.
I've always wanted to shoot a blunderbuss.
What's a blunderbuss?
It looks like if you take like the big open round thing from a record player.
Yeah.
And you put it on the end of like a musket.
Oh.
It's just basically.
Do you front load it with a little plungy thing?
I think so. It's basically like a cartoon rifle where aiming be damned. You just kind of. They would use it like as just a.
Get it somewhere near where you're.
It's basically a cheat code.
It's how people thought Lamar was going to throw the ball.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I think Pirates used them when there was like, you know, there's a ship moving. I can't really aim. It was just like, I'm just going to hop aboard and aim this at all those guys and see which ones fall down.
I'm behind on your show, but Cotton Nash was from Jeffersonville. He went to UK, though, right? Didn't he go to UK?
I don't know. I wish I knew.
I'm sure he did. I'm almost sure.
Yeah, I really got a tinkle. Can we go to break?
Well, let's all watch Nick dance. Dance, son, dance!
Oh, wait. Say it again.
Go ahead. It sounds like 13 in that one, but it's 12. Okay, do it again. Well, I was counting. Dance! Dance! You mean dance like a, what is it going? Funny how? Funny like a clown?
Yeah. You're just mixing all of your.
Well, you're lucky I didn't drop in a Glengarry Glen Ross. I'm all over the map here. All right, it's Chuck Connors.
Good looking man.
It's a Winchester model 1892. Now people are saying other texter was correct. Rifleman used a Winchester. Just Google what kind of rifle. They actually put that?
Well, yeah, I bet they sold it back in the day. Get the official Rifleman rifle from Chuck Connors, made
you know
by
what?
Marks.
This is nothing to be proud of. I mean, go ahead. I don't want to ring for that anymore. I'm older than the average radio
person.
Who was that
even you were imitating?
Because a guy said, I said something on Twitter the other day, and if they don't like what you say, they say they don't like because you're old, which makes no sense. It would be like, I really think they're going to pass on this play. Well, sure you do. You're old. What does that mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Have you been hit with an okay boomer reply?
No.
Well, first off, you're not a baby boomer.
Yes, I am.
You
I
are?
Technically am. I'm
really?
Yes, 57.
Oh, I guess boomer. I'm just like I'm technically a millennial.
Correct.
I'm right on the cutoff.
Right.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what I am also. But
well, okay, boomers usually like racist. And
but I'm not. But I think when we were kids, 70 was old. I think right now 75 is older. It's old, but it doesn't mean you're dead. Also, and I'm not there yet. And I don't
UK
care.
Brown's still calling games at like 82.
He's almost. Yeah, he just signed a multi-year contract in his 80s. So that's my. That's somewhat my goal. I don't know if I will want to. I would want to do this forever. I love games. I loved going to the game yesterday. I honestly did. I was really. I can't. It's just I love and that game is easier to get my head around because I was, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about broadcasting. I didn't have show notes. I was just watching. The team was playing. One team played a 1-3-1 for much of the game, which you don't see much anymore. And I learned from a guy who was Manute Bol's college coach, a guy named Bruce Webster, the best 1-3-1 attack I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody else do it. He invented it. And I give him credit for it. It's very different. And as I was watching them play it, I was saying, you know, I think it would work against the way they're playing this. And you know what I would do with it? It winds up with a very – it's kind of like when Rick would take one of the, you know, wings and put them at the high post against Syracuse's zone because the 2-3 has a open area there. So if you put a guy there who can turn and shoot it and make some plays, and he put Kyle Keurig there and they got a lot of mileage out of it, this is set up so that you are doing the same thing. You have an opportunity to get the ball on a diagonal pass to the guy in that high post. And all I was thinking to myself was, if I could run my guy George there, we'd have, you know what George does? He makes buckets. Or whatever. What does he say?
He
gets buckets. Is that what is that?
What about our boy Donnie Fusco?
Donnie Fusco hit a three and then tackled a guy, got a flagrant. They had to take him out of the game, launched an air ball. He's all right.
Kind of sounds like he's the Gordie Howe. He's getting the Gordie Howe hat trick.
He's all right. He played hard. It was fun. It was fun to watch. I do love. I love the hoopsters. I love college hoop. Small college basketball. There's a lot to be said for that. The guys are coaching their ass off. Kids are playing hard. It was fun. And oh, here's the great thing. Here's something you don't see very often at a big time game. This is absolutely true too. You do see this at a big time game. Four very pretty girls came and sat two rows right in front of me. Very, very fine looking lasses. And two guys came over, needless to say, and sat with them. They all were NYU students. That's the great thing about a league like the CUNY. They're all City University of New York schools. If you got money for a subway fare, you can go watch every game. So NYU, which is down in the village, this is Hunter's way uptown on like 68th Street, I think. But they jump on a subway. You take a 20-minute ride, 15-minute ride, you go to the game. So they came to the game. And the guy makes a great play, and the kid in front of me, who looks like a skater dude, which was interesting because he did know the game, though. His shirt was a skater shirt on, and good-looking kid, by the way, too. It's easy to see why the girls welcomed him to their little group. But he knew the game, and he's, you know, cheering. And a guy makes a good play, and he goes, "Woo, that's my friend's roommate."
That's awesome.
I love that. That's my friend's roommate. So, yeah, you don't see that a lot at the big-time stuff. So maybe you do, but now we're at the press table, we don't hear it. So that was pretty cool. All right.
Gotta pee.
We'll take a break. Oh, yeah. Nick's got to pee.
Blair Overton. We haven't talked to
him. No way.
It's Thursday. Colts are out of the playoffs pretty much.
Her colleagues. See that?
Yeah, that was sad.
Bounced on CBS their 4. Ears. Said, "Get the hell out of here. We don't need you anymore." Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out.
I'm sure they need them. They just don't have the money to pay them.
Well, they won't. Why don't they let them work for nothing? Maybe they wouldn't want to do that.
By the way, I'm really bad at clocking into our new clock-in system here.
You're not going to get paid, you know.
Yeah, no, we're going to have to start.
Do we have a little, like a punchy thing now?
Yeah, it's like a computer punching thing.
Where do you do it?
It's in the back computer. Well, you're not hourly.
I know, but I want to do it
now.
Why don't you punch in? Why not? Don't you want to get paid for this?
I would love to get paid.
Well, they're not going to unless you punch in. So you should go do that. Well, I'm just chatting with you to see how much you're going to dance.
I've already pissed my pants.
You're listening to The V Show with Bob Balvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
And here's Indiana going up along the rail. New York making a strong move. Still New Jersey out front. Here comes Louisiana as well in today's allowing sports rating, betting derby. Whoa, who is that way in the back? Oh, that's right. That's Kentucky back there. They're a good 10, 12 lengths behind the nearest horse in the back as Michigan is making a surge forward as well. Michigan, the latest state to say, sure, you want to bet on sports, your money, do what the hell you want. But here, we're still going across the bridge. That's the way we roll here. Very excited about being 50 years behind everybody else. The reason I tell you that is because just got a text. We went up there. We previewed it a few weeks ago. What is that? That the Maxwell House commercial?
No, it's a Kentucky's horse.
Oh, yeah.
In the Derby. Just trotting along.
Just enjoying the scenery. It's officially open now. The 71-room Valley Tower and the first-ever sportsbook and sports viewing lounge at French Lick. And we saw it when we were up there, and it was basically done. Looks great, but now they put the finishing touches on it, and it is a great, great destination. And if you're thinking about making a golf trip with your buddies, of course, they've got the Pete Dye and the Donald Ross courses, and there's all sorts of pictures you can see online. It's a 6-story Valley Tower right adjacent to the event center and the French Lick Casino. You literally go downstairs and boom, you'll be watching big high-def TVs. And they also have the little monitors there, the sports wagering terminals, so that you don't have to, you know, I think that lets you do in-game betting, which they don't have in Southern Indiana yet. They, you know, want to get it eventually, but they've got state-of-the-art 14-foot by 8-foot LED video walls. And there's the bar, of course, right there. It's going to be a terrific destination. What a great weekend that would be. Go play a little golf, you know, to your room, get a little shower, come on back down, get a little din-din, get some wagering in on the games, sit and hang with your boys.
Why do you do that?
I like to because it annoys the crap out of you. There's very few things I do that annoys you more than that.
You really don't embarrass me much anymore. I just...
That's one of the great lines I've ever heard, to be honest with you. Our frequent texter, Steve. One good thing about being behind everyone else is when the world comes to an end, you have a little more time. I never heard that before. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good.
Let's see. Have worked at W... I don't know what that is. Oh, it's a link to something. What is that? Do you know what that is?
I don't have the text line in front of me. 437-968 UPS jobs text line.
I'm going to see what this is, and then I'm going to...
That was a great potty break, by the way. I feel like a new man.
Yeah, well, good. You had some business to take care of.
I was taking care of everything.
Let's go see.
A lot of vacancies.
Amazon. I don't know what that is. Eastern Kentucky Echo. Oh, I heard about this. What is
Damn
that?
Teleprompter.
I don't know what that is. That's a funny thing, I guess.
No, somebody said, why does it always sound like when Nick does a sports center, the teleprompter is stuck? Because sometimes I'm like, this sports center
is...
Usually I'm doing that because I'm trying to... I'm too lazy to write on my copy.
Who it's brought to you by.
You're right. So I have to find the sponsor on here. It's a stupid system. But also, to save paper, I do it on my iPad. And a couple of times I'm pulling up my email, and the email is taking forever to load. And... yeah, so the teleprompter is kind of broken. And I told that texter that I was going to kill a tree and just print the thing, and I didn't. And so the SportsCenter sounded a little slow taking off there, and so he texted back, damn teleprompter. That's funny. That was pretty good.
One time, you're the most intelligent listeners in all of sports radio.
437-9680.
Speaking about saving a tree, if you want to see something hilarious, I showed it to Nick. Find, just search Lewis Black rant on recycling. It's not actually written by him. At the end of his shows, he'll read rants that are sent to him, and this is from a woman that is absolutely hilarious. It's a brilliant piece of writing. It really is. I played that for you, right? You thought that?
No, it was funny. Tasty. It was definitely funny.
All right, let's go see. We don't know who these people are because Process took the calls and then just took off. So, Patty knows who it is, though. Who's on your line? Do you know who that is? Who's on Patty's line?
Patty? I have no idea who's on Patty's line.
He answered
who
the phone.
Who just answered you? Who was that?
Don't take that call. He's got to talk to Nick about donating money to the V Foundation.
Fabulous. Thank you, Mr. Man, on line one. That means we go to line two, which is this person right here. Hello, person on line two who Process didn't write your name down. Who are you?
Mr. Mary, Mr. Bob.
How are you?
I'm calling about the Iowa State in-state game tonight. Iowa play Iowa State host Iowa. We talked at the fair. You remember me?
Yeah.
Yes, and you need to talk. You need to call. I've been listening all day. Call Dino and have him watch the Iowa State game. See what magic is. It's on at 8 o'clock your time on E2, ESPN number 2. Iowa State is hosting Iowa.
Yeah, I've done broadcast games from there. It's an incredible place. It's a great atmosphere. It absolutely is.
I'm calling you from Phoenix. I've been here since November 1st.
Well, good. Well, I hope you're traveling safely, and I hope you're a lot warmer than we are.
Well, I'm here till May.
Well, good. Well, enjoy the warm weather.
I listen to your broadcast on the computer.
Well, good.
From 10 to 1 here with the time difference.
Thanks for doing that. I appreciate that. Appreciate it. All right, man.
I hope you watch tonight.
All right, Bob.
I will say.
That's a good game.
We beat Seton Hall this last Sunday night by 10 points at Ames, too.
All right. Well, we'll be looking for it. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it. So far, just to recap, if you're just joining us, we're a sports show in Louisville. We've talked about a Division III basketball player in Manhattan at Hunter College. 95% of you have never even heard of the school and certainly wouldn't know who he is. And then we just broke into the middle by taking a call from Phoenix on Iowa State. That is how, for you kids in the audience, that's how you get voted best radio host. This is what you do. This is the key. They tell you, make sure you keep it local and keep it centered around sports. So we talked about what kind of rifle Chuck Connors had. We've celebrated a very fine Division III player in Manhattan that quite literally, if my life depended on it, not one of you could ever have heard of. They're literally, not even by chance. Like, you know, sometimes you'll stumble on it. It's unbelievable. I can't believe they were talking about that. I ate in that restaurant. Nobody in the whole listening audience knows who the hell that is. And probably almost equally as few, I hate to say it because he's a very nice man. We met him at the fair, but really care about that Iowa State game and a whole lot. But, I mean, so that's it. So if any of you are out there listening on the internet and you want to give us a little update maybe on a big high school game in your town or there's a big bake sale going on or a car wash that would absolutely equally add nothing to the show, jump right in.
We need
that's how we roll here.
We've got a couple of European listeners.
Yes.
What's going on
in Amsterdam? That's what I want to know. Nikki remembers Amsterdam, although Mr. Listener listening in Amsterdam, you're probably not going to be that happy because he doesn't remember that fondly because we scared the crap out of him, and with good reason. We took you out on the street not knowing that New Year's Eve.
I was 3 years old.
You were a toddler, and New Year's Eve, they do fireworks that makes the thunder over Louisville look like a little dime store firecracker. I've never seen that. It really we tried to walk back to the hotel, and I was afraid to get back to the hotel to go down the street because there was stuff blown up everywhere. Cars, people, you know, just heads flying. It was unbelievable.
It wasn't that bad. I don't, knock wood, I don't think anyone died, but damn, it was pretty
scary.
Exciting.
I remember hovering in the doorway,
and I like
of an office building. I know you.
We threw down with some thunder over driveways.
Yes,
in
but
our
this
time.
Was, the, you I mean, you couldn't be safe. Like, you know, sometimes there's fireworks in your neighborhood, you know, where you can walk and stuff. You didn't know where you could walk because at any given moment the fire hydrant might blow up. I mean, it was loud. I called home and my mother was like, "Are they at war in the Netherlands? What is that?" I was like, "No, it's kind of." They're pretty fired up about their fireworks here, so it's literally among the most incredible and dangerous, I would think, fireworks show. It's in keeping with a.
We want to know Wednesday.
What's that?
A day late.
What?
Could be wrong about this, but okay. I think in the 100 years after the American Revolution, more people died playing with fireworks than actually died fighting for independence.
I'm pretty sure you made that up.
Nope. Nope, because fireworks back in the day were basically just low-grade weapons.
You're telling me that Uncle...
I watched
Uncle,
a special that Uncle was probably voiced
Jeremiah.
By the guy that you really... who's the guy you
Ed
really,
Herman?
Probably.
Now you're completely making no, stuff
this
up.
Guy
you are just
legit.
Spitballing.
This guy sounded,
he filmed it in our living room. Don't you remember? He was in there, and none of the kids could come in the house for a week because he was taping the show.
You know, wacky spit like that happened a lot in the childhood. You made all my friends go home one night. Because we were making too much
you
noise.
You were. I was trying to do a national radio show. I mean, you know, it was my job after all. And you know, the thing that made it worse is you had Ron Flatter in there with you, and he's in the business, and he's screaming at the TV screen because you were watching some pay-per-view fight.
We were watching the Floyd Mayweather.
I don't care if you're watching
fight.
Floyd do magic tricks.
That was a good time.
Yeah, good for you. Scary for me. But anyway, so I mean, think about
it. Big fan of flats.
So Uncle Jeremiah risked his life so we could have freedom. So now let's all go in the yard and kill him and three of our cousins by playing with faulty fireworks. That seems like a very...
Don't believe me? Ask JPP.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.